Welcome to Intersection Live, the tax and accounting profession's premier podcast source. Provided by the CPA Technology Advisor at the intersection of technology and public accounting. The Intersection Live podcast series is brought to you by ADP Small Business Services, supporting the accountant community. Intelligent Business Ideas to Go is sponsored by CCH, a Wolters Kluwer business.
This is Intelligent Business Ideas to Go, Episode 5, The Talent Wars.
Greg LaFollette for Intersection Live, recording today Intelligent Business Ideas to Go, Episode number 5, IBI to Go. I have today as my guest Sue Torgerson, and Sue is one of the execs over at CCH and has been working primarily in the large firm world for the last several years. And I cross paths with Sue regularly and often. Always enjoy the opportunity to visit with her. This is a woman that knows more about the practice of public accounting than most of the people that I run into. Sue, thanks very much for carving out time for me today.
Thank you, Greg, and thank you for that introduction. I appreciate that.
Well, I know you're sitting on the beach out there in California today, right?
Oh, the sunny beach is probably about 3 miles away from here.
Right. And it may as well be 3,000, right?
Exactly.
Exactly. What difference does it make? That's the beauty of business travel, and people will say, well, how was the weather in Los Angeles? And you go, how would I know? It was the same as if I were in the office anywhere else.
Actually, I did appreciate the cool weather when I landed last night coming out of the humidity of Chicago.
Yeah. Well, Sue, what we wanted to talk about today is the overarching part is what I've called the talent wars, and I've certainly heard many people in CCH talk about that, and you guys are on the forefront. I saw a report that came out of the public accounting reports, out of CCH public accounting reports, entitled Recruiting and Keeping Up-and-Coming CPAs at Your Firm. And I think of myself, I'm just a young guy, I've only been doing this for 35 years now. And as I read this and reached out to CCH and said, well, who's the domain expert? Who knows this stuff? And your name came up every single time.
Well, understanding the needs of our customers is something that we do live every day. And unfortunately, we talk about, I think that you classified yourself as an accounting geek and a technology geek. And as I said at the Winning is Everything conference last year, I'm the biggest geek because I enjoy studying accountants. So, but we really do want to understand the needs of the accountants and understand what is making them productive and making them profitable in the firms that they drive. And, you know, I think there's been a lot of people that have been looking at things from a superficial level, and we're really interested in digging in deeper and understanding the differences between the different firms, because there's a lot of uniqueness out there. And I think in today's business, we really do need to look at the individual in order to be as productive and as profitable as possible for our current and our long-term success.
So this report, Sue, is available, and we can provide a link for it in the show notes. So any of the listeners that want to go in and actually look at the report, you can actually find it. Is that right?
Definitely. We issued a white paper after doing reaching out a market research study in conjunction with Harris Interactive for our user conference going on 2 years ago. And that white paper is very relevant today. And every time I sit back and look at it, it has more. You pick up another little nugget of information that will help you in your practice.
So, and this is available at cchgroup.com/survey. So for those people who don't want to go to the show notes, it's cchgroup.com/survey. So kind of tell me where this thing starts. I mean, the first thing that I see in it that shocks me is the anticipated growth in our profession is astounding, with, 18 to 26% anticipated growth for the next, 8 or 10 years?
Yeah, through 2014, and which is always interesting. I've laughed that the last time we had an abundance of accountants was the year I was entering the profession. And we've been hearing some of these stories about how firms have been struggling to meet their talent challenges over the last several years. And what we've seen is with the, I guess, the awareness that has been given the CPA industry since Enron and since the Anderson issues, we really do have a line, the limelight on the CPAs, and people are much more attracted to the visibility and what they have to influence in businesses and in individuals across the board. So there's a lot of people that are interested in it for the first time, and you see people coming back to the public accounting profession from corporate market because of the demands of the profession. But there's lots of opportunities out there, and I think that there's some competition as for those professionals as well, which I think is always going to be an issue for us.
Well, we're looking at 3 years through when this report was done in 06,
mm-hmm.
3 years of solid growth. Last year was even an increased year of good growth, and this year everything is pointing up. So it's a great time to be an accountant.
It is. There's lots of challenges, which is something that the professionals in this industry definitely want. And I think that's one of the main drivers of what attract people to the profession is that exciting and demanding challenges.
You know, 3 years ago, Barry Melanson, who's president of the ASCPA, CEO of the ASCPA, made an announcement that they had calculated at that time that 75% of the membership of the Institute would be eligible to retire in the next 15 years. And in fact, Kevin Robert talked about that at length at your launch of your first user conference. And I remember watching the people in the room just shocked and looking around and seeing that everyone around them was the same age as they were. All of us seemed to be to be aging at about the same rate. And you know, as I looked at that that 75% in 15 years, it's now 75% in 12 years, hasn't changed a bit. What's that going to do?
Well, it definitely puts a lot of pressure on the firms, and that's where I think the power of an intelligent business really comes, that people, it was something that wasn't on anybody's radar until the AICPA started talking about that. And what you do realize now is this is not unique to the CPA profession. It is an issue because of our population mix in the United States, and also has implications worldwide. And what it does is it really, I think what's even more frightening is when you take those percentages and you apply it to the number of people in the AICPA today and realize how few numbers are going to be in the profession today. So you have to add, obviously, the number of incoming students to that to bring it back up. But we know that we're not replacing people one for one or even two to one. But that's where it really does put the pressure on the profession to work more intelligently and do more with what they do have, which I think has always been a challenge. But in many cases, people always felt that they could throw more people at it and get the work done. But now you really have to take advantage of the technology to the best of your abilities and always be looking for creative ways to become more productive and more effective in the work that you do. But then also the people that you do have, I mean, we've always said those are your most valuable assets, and we really need to work together collaboratively to make sure that they are part of the organization for the long haul. And if they're not part of the long haul, then how do you get the best value and satisfaction for both individuals today? And I think that that has been a dynamic change for many individuals.
Sure. So the kind of the good news and the bad news is that we're in a growth spurt, and a lot of students are coming back to public accounting. So you know we're growing the raw number and the percentage, but and we have great young people, but the bad news, or at least the challenge for many of the traditionally aged firm managers is trying to relate to younger practitioners in that their value systems are different, and that's not a judgment of good or bad. In fact, I very much admire the value system very different from the value system that we had when I started in public accounting. And I remember when I got my first job in public accounting, there were probably 50 or 100 people vying for that job. Any one of them would have taken it in a heartbeat if I didn't like what they told me to do. And now it's just kind of the opposite of that.
I think what's interesting is the importance that the firm culture really does play in the industry today in terms of meeting the needs of both your current leaders and also your incoming staff and the people that you're looking to build for your next generation of leaders. And what the survey really did show us, which was very interesting, that things do drop off after the first few drivers, but unusually, ethical leadership was the number one issue that the younger individuals were valuing as important to them. And they felt they rated the firms that they were working with slightly lower than how they valued it. So there's somewhat of a gap there in terms of how the firms are measuring up to the issue of ethical leadership.
Right. And but really not much. They were
no.
Those numbers are. I mean, the firms seem to do a pretty good job, and the young people expect them to do a good job. And to me, that's almost kind of a given.
It's
as you start going down that list, where what I found was fascinating, and I'm going to ask you to kind of talk about some of these, but the things that it's obvious to me that firms work really hard on to make sure they do a good job, and the format that you used was you measured how firms are doing in a particular section. We said how's the firm doing, and then the second part of that in another part of the survey was how important is it. And when you see these things that are very important but we're not doing a very good job, that's a challenge. But then the interesting thing to me is there's a whole bunch of things that the people say, you're doing a really good job, but we just don't care. It's just not that important.
Right.
The example, diversity in the workplace, 19% of the people said ranked the firms as very good, doing a very good job. And 3% of the people said it was important to them.
Yeah, I think that's where you really do have to look at the individual, what's important to the individuals. And
right.
I think the survey really does help you put into perspective. And there's a lot of issues in the workplace today, and diversity is something that businesses in general are constantly trying to address. It's part of our changing culture within the United States, but it really did, within the area of culture, it ranked absolutely lowest in the area of how important it was to them. If you go back up to the top, one area that we have heard a lot about, and I know firms are continuing to invest in heavily, is the issue between work-life balance and family-friendly policies. There's a pretty significant gap between how it's valued and how firms are performing. And this is an area where I really struggle to say that these are women's issues in the marketplace, because these are just family, these are individual issues, and you see that men are reacting to them just as much as women are in the firms across the board. So, I know that there's probably some firms that are very progressive in this area, where other firms, it just hasn't really made the A list of some of the things that they need to address. And I think that those are some areas that you can work very creatively with your team to really address what their needs are and meet their satisfaction.
So there's lots of attention on work-life balance. The Institute has done lots of things. You guys at CCH have been doing lots of things. I see there's many, many programs at your conference and things around this. So we've really raised the awareness. And I think firms are working on it. And actually, almost 40% of the people, said their firms do pretty good. And I think that's pretty darn important.
Yes, definitely. I think what's interesting is a lot of these issues are definitely related to one another, and I think that in terms of going back to that work-life balance issue and providing a positive atmosphere for people, firms have been really working at building a good environment within the firm itself, And you'll see that firms are graded as doing that very well, but yet it falls down in the list in terms of level of importance, in terms of that fun communal work environment. And then you also look at how we're investing in teamwork and team building, and we're really meeting the expectations in there. So it really does indicate that instead of working in those areas, obviously those are critical drivers that we need to maintain, but something within the area of the feedback and the supervision is an area where there is that gap today. And that, I think, is something that management is currently struggling to address. If you go back to the AICPA or the PCPS MAP survey a few years ago, Bill Reeb articulated this inverted triangle that management was able to basically wasn't willing to push a lot of the work down and really bring people up into it, and they actually took more work on. And I think that this is a direct indicator that that might be still going on in a number of firms. But they want the challenging work. They want to be challenged. They want the feedback. And that's something that firms can build into their policies on a day-to-day basis. As we look at more paperless processes, firms are continually saying, do I give them the review on the tax return? Do I do the review notes myself, or do I just fix it and move on?
Right.
And you have to find a way to be productive, but yet provide the feedback that they need in order to learn and improve their skills and knowledge across the board.
So that word balance doesn't just come with work-life balance. There's balance all over.
Definitely.
So walk through for me, Sue, the report talks about firm attributes in four kind of general characteristics, four general areas. First being firm infrastructure.
Right.
Okay, and what are the other ones?
The second is the firm culture, which
right,
I think
right.
a lot of the larger firms are focusing on.
Right.
And also benefits and compensation, which is something that is probably top of mind for most everyone across the board. And fourth would be the professional training and development.
Okay. So we've talked just a little bit about culture. Let's backtrack and talk about the firm infrastructure, just a touch.
Yeah,
go ahead.
This is really providing the foundation to do your job, in my opinion. You know, having the right resources to get the job done, that was an area that was, you know, rated important to the professionals. Access to the latest technology to increase your productivity. And I think going back to your comment about the generational issues within the firms, this is an area of discrepancy within the existing firm members and newer incoming people. There's a wide gap in technology.
Right.
And then also would be the investment in the leading tax and accounting software. They want to know that they have the right tools to be productive and to be effective.
And they're actually fairly close, pretty well aligned on that particular one.
Correct.
But the access to the latest technology, 55% for the rating by accountants, and 33% rated the firms to do a really, really good job in that. So it sounds like firms certainly have a way to go to catch up with what their employees and their staff think is important.
Yes, this is an area. We did a presentation at the Winning is Everything conference in January, and I asked the audience the question of how many of your firms allow the use of Instant Messenger. And, you know, it's just something that a lot of firms haven't been really willing to bring into the firm culture today. But if you look at who you're hiring, this is something that they use on an instant basis all the time.
Yeah,
and
this would be like when I started saying, we don't use the telephone.
Definitely.
You just say, well, that's insane.
Definitely. And just the connectedness between someone new out of college and even younger than that is very different. And I think that there's a lot that we can learn. What we're finding is this level of connectedness from an incoming staff member actually gets, in my opinion, gets them up and running a lot more quickly. They're much more inquisitive. They need to know who's going to be able to answer their questions. And they have built networks of people by using these types of productivity tools. And we're at a juncture where we need to better understand how we can use them in the professional atmosphere. And I think that there's probably some philosophical differences that we need to start really discussing and being more willing to take into the firm. Go ahead.
I was just going to throw in. It's funny. I've been in presentations that I've done and had technology managers, partners, CIOs of firms tell me that they actually spend time and effort locking down IAM so that people can't use it, and then they're very frustrated because kids are so young people are so innovative in using all sorts of other ways to mimic IAM, and it's just kind of an interesting dichotomy that what's so very, very important to young people is so very threatening to somehow to quote, I guess, the establishment. I'm using air quotes there.
And what I think is really exciting is that these skills that these individuals have are really one of the greatest assets that we can use to our advantage. And if you go back and you look at software as a whole, historically we've always said that people really only get 15 to 20% out of the application. And if you look at this group of people, and if you look at the impact that the whole gaming industry has had on them, how they're trying to always break through the next level and understand how to get through these games, that has really created a different mantra or a different set of skills in terms of learning software. So our whole learning culture has to change, and how we really do provide the tools, and hopefully we're working on plans to address that form within CCH. But it's something that we fear right now, I think, in many cases. But if we look at it in a different perspective, those skill sets can really be used to the advantage of the firm.
Right. And they're finding that obviously all over the military and all sorts of other places too, that we really need to embrace some of those new technologies. So the third area, Sue, is the whole benefits and compensation area. And I guess, as you said, top of mind, it wouldn't come as a surprise to anyone that's rated as very important by staff, 74%, and yet 19% of them think the firms are doing a good job. That's a pretty big spread.
That is a huge spread, and actually in the survey, that is the biggest spread that we have in any of those areas. And I think when we have to look at what does compensation and financial reward mean to the individual, and I think a lot of firms have indicated that they need to be much more one-on-one with this. If you look at the family of person within the firm versus the single person right out of college, they're going to have different levers that are going to be important to them in terms of compensation. And I think that this is where you can create more of a tailored environment for them.
Right.
But no one really likes to hear that we're not making enough money. But I think we have to look deeper and say, you know, what are your challenges and what's not being met?
Sure.
And this is something where I live in the city of Chicago, and there was a recent comment in the publications about transportation, paying for public transportation. If your employer provided it, would you be more willing to take it? But if it's pre-tax dollars, they would be more willing to take it. So there's a lot of those types of questions that people are struggling with today. And remember, we're dealing with accountants, so they're going to be calculating different things on a day-to-day basis. But that's where I think we have to work out a much more of a one-on-one program, that it may not mean more compensation, more salary dollars, but how can we create a more tailored situation for them?
It's interesting, as we've heard for years that compensation doesn't just mean money, but yet as I look at this report, it's pretty apparent that for at least 75% of the people, that is by far the number one thing, and they think the firms do, I mean, frankly, a terrible job. 19%, it would rate the firms as doing a good job. So, that's pretty big. And then I look at all of these other things that I know the firms would consider part of compensation. You know, tuition, dependent care, telecommuting, or part-time cafeteria, all of those sorts of things, all of those things that kind of make up compensation. And many of these people are saying, yeah, the firm's doing a good job. I don't care.
Yeah,
and I find that really interesting.
It is interesting. And you have to go back to who is speaking about this. The people that were included in the survey are the professionals in the market with 4 to 7 years of experience. Where are they at in their life? And do they have families where some of these are really important to them? Telecommuting was very low. But when you look at reward directly on merit, which was the third number one issue behind flexible hours,
sure.
And then number four was really job security, I feel that they're looking to be recognized much more on their individual contributions than, you know, giving them a plate of cafeteria plans.
Right. So let's hop over to the fourth bucket, the training and development attributes. And this is a place where where CCH has a huge footprint and in so many of the things that you do. What did you find over in training and development?
This is an area where actually for the most part, most of the respondents really felt that the firms were being very effective at meeting the training and development requirements of the young CPAs. If we look at providing for CPE, the firms were outperforming in terms of expectations, providing a challenging work environment, and continuous skill development. Those were the top three issues that they definitely felt that they were meeting their needs. And that's a very positive thing. I think we have to continue with the ongoing talent challenge to look a little bit deeper again in terms of what does this mean. And going back to the compensation issue, is this something that we need to be providing for some further education for people that want to be in a position in the future? And, again, it's different for one versus the other. And that's leadership development, I think, is a big area that we're, you know, right on par with people right now. But mentoring and coaching is where there's a slight disparate between it.
But of the four buckets, it seems to me that there is more congruence in this bucket than in any of the other buckets. Is that about right?
Definitely. So they're doing a good job, and they can probably see that they could, you know, evaluate their overall offerings and look at some of those areas where they can do better, but definitely look at how they might complement some of the other areas to get some more significant improvements in the firm overall.
So kind of summarize for me, Sue, what is it that young CPAs want from their employer, from their firm? What do they have to deliver to take that 5-year person and make sure that he or she becomes a 15-year person?
Well, there's actually I have lost my note here, but that's okay.
No,
they want to know that they're going to build their skill set. They want to be successful in what they're doing.
Right.
And they want to advance appropriately. They want to be given the tools that they have to do the job. And if you go to the generational conferences, they want the feedback that will really accelerate this process. They're not the ones that are going to sit back and wait for the world to come to them. They're going out there and pushing it against the world, saying, "What can I do today? And
sure.
What can I do tomorrow?"
Right. So are these? We could talk to things like generational conferences and things are. Is the mindset of the Gen X or Gen Y or millennials how much different is it from my generation, from the boomers?
Well, you know, that's where you see a lot of the boomers, and I think it's because it's a difference of where they're at in their profession today that they do want the same things in life. Whether it's spending time with their family or just spending more time to enjoy their off time. They're looking at it from different perspectives right now. And I think one of the biggest challenges that we have is the philosophy that I did my hard time and you have to do your hard time. And that's something that there's a difference of a philosophy between the people coming into the firms and the people that lived through that maybe 20 years ago.
So nobody wants to do the hard time today.
No.
I don't want to do it because I've already done it, and the young people coming in don't want to do it because, frankly, it was stupid.
Yeah, they think that we were crazy to do that.
We were. Yeah, it was not smart, but it was a badge of honor. I mean, 80-plus hour tax seasons were a badge of honor.
And you look at the bonding experiences that you had, I can still visualize certain days that we had and how you connected with your peers across the board. But what we have different today is really the technology is the enabler. And that's where, you know, if you're unwilling to embrace that technology, we are really trying to keep ourselves back in that mindset. And I mean, I've talked to so many firms that they just are really enjoying the benefits of that more virtual workplace and of the more flexible work hours. People are more productive and people are happier in their jobs. And they're still providing the right mentoring capabilities using different types of tools. So you can get there. I think you can get there in a shorter period of time and ramp up these, I'll call them kids, much more quickly.
Sure.
To the firm's benefit.
So as we wrap up here, Sue, give me a couple of ideas. What are the superstars? And I'm over on the firm side now. What are the superstar firms doing? How do they attack this whole problem? Is it just an overall culture thing? Is there a certain set of best practices that firms are doing that seem to make them more successful?
Well, I think that definitely we've seen some really interesting stories come out of firms focusing on the overall firm growth, changing the culture. And what I think has been very interesting is those firms that have been very successful are the ones that have been really engaging their entire firm to achieve their goals. There's a firm on the West Coast that had a significant growth plan. And they basically engaged all of their staff to say, we want to bring in X number of new people over a certain period of time. And they really felt that they were part of the goal and a part of the commitment, and they all made it happen. And the firm realized their goals. So it goes back to having the challenges that the younger generation wants, but we're also meeting the visions and the expectations of the firm across the board. Technology, I think that what we're seeing is that they are embracing technology as much as possible. And there's a firm up in the Seattle area that we're talking with now that is looking at more embracing some of those social networking tools. And right now I would say that, you know, if you talk about social networking in a firm, that's a big taboo. There's no way we want to bring that into our firm. But I think that you'll see that there's going to be a change in that over the next a couple of years.
Well, I mean, I'm already seeing firms with Facebook groups.
Yep.
for firms, and to look and utilize those sorts of things. It's a little bit like the IM conversation that we were having before, just recognizing what tools are there and using them because they're good tools, and not just shutting them down.
Definitely. I've spoken with a firm out in the Boston area, and they had sent a few of their staff people out to an association training. So they had, an ANA training, level one training, and they do this with a lot of other firms. So here they're going in, they're meeting people of their similar peers, and this is where I think the generation has an advantage in terms of networking. Coming away from that, they already had their group set up, and they've been collaborating ever since. So they're maintaining their peer networks at a different level than, you know, what you've seen coming out of previously the Big Eight and some of the larger regional firms. So it's definitely taking the networking opportunities to a different level.
Well, Sue, this has been a fascinating conversation, and I certainly thank you for sharing some time. One last elevator comment, your advice to firms large and small in the tool that they need in their arsenal to help them win the talent war. What do they do?
I think that it really we should I think communication is a huge opportunity that will really brings us all together. And when we look at this, we have to say this we're not looking at it as a whole, but let's explore this together and try to solve the problem. And it's not always, it's not a huge problem for everybody. It's definitely unique to different, everyone has their own challenges. And that's why I think you have to challenge, look at the challenges one-on-one and really determine what the best strategy is for your firm. It's not a large firm issue. It's not a small firm issue. There's just different cultures out there. And there's creative ways to achieve your goals. And I think that there was a seminar I attended recently that, you know, utilized some of these other individuals to brainstorm and to really identify different opportunities. And that's going back to the process fixing, you know, improving our productivity. They're the ones that are going to continue to challenge and say, well, why would you do that?
Right. Well, it will be an interesting process over the next 8 or 10 years, and I've certainly watched as CCHS continues to roll out products and services to help accountants solve whatever the problem du jour is, and I know you're working very hard on things in this area, including things like knowledge management. And some things that are going to make a lot of this stuff possible, right?
Definitely. The knowledge management, I think, is an area that brings all of this together in terms of the connectivity, the challenging people, providing the mentors, utilizing the right technology, and there's exciting things on the horizon there.
Super. Well, Sue, thank you so very much. We've burned up our allotted time. I've been visiting with Sue Torgerson from CCH Wolters Kluwer, and we've been talking about their report, Recruiting and Keeping Up-and-Coming CPAs at Your Firm. And as we indicated at the top of the show, that survey can be downloaded at cchgroup.com/survey. So this has been Intelligent Business Ideas to Go, episode number 5. Sue Torgerson, thank you for your time. Have a great day.
Thank you, Greg. See you at the next conference.
Bye.
This has been Intelligent Business Ideas to Go, episode 5, The Talent Wars.
For more information about the CPA Technology Advisor's other podcast programs, webcasts, and our e-newsletter, visit www.cpatechadvisor.com. To ask questions or leave comments about our podcasts, call 800-456-0864, extension 2106, or tune into future episodes where you're able to ask questions live via TalkShoe.com.